Recruiting never stops, especially for Georgia football. Welcome to the podcast that covers Georgia football recruiting from all angles and spotlights the legends of tomorrow. It's the Recruiting Bulldog Update, the RBU podcast.
We go Wild Dog with Sony. Nauta goes in motion left, snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left, angling, 25, 20, got a block for Brown, 50, 10, 5, touchdown, 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 Dogs win it, we're headed to Atlanta.
We hand it off to Herschel, there's a hole, 5, 10, 12, he's running all over people. Oh, you Herschel Walker.
Gurley, 5 yards deep, and Todd will bring this one out. And there he goes, one block and it might be over. Todd Gurley, coast to coast, can he make it? Yes, he can.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the RBU podcast, the Recruiting Bulldog Update. As you know, here on the RBU podcast, it's all about Georgia football recruiting. Already some stuff has happened this weekend. By the way, I am your host, Blaine Gilmer, and I have some exciting news for you coming up here in just a minute, but we want to go ahead and get right into it with some exciting stuff that has happened this weekend. For one, Evan Stewart, a five-star wide receiver out of Texas, has announced that Georgia is in his top eight. Of course, Kobe Albert, another wide receiver out of Fairfield, Alabama, makes his top eight as well. And then Aaron Bryant, a defensive end out of South Haven, Mississippi, Georgia is in his top 10. But I do feel that for Stewart and for Bryant specifically, Georgia's in the top two, really, of that top eight for each one. I think Georgia's very strong with Stewart and with Bryant. So just wanted to throw that out there for you right off the bat, some top groups that have been going. I do want to remind you that the RBU podcast, as always, is presented by Bulldog Illustrated, bulldogillustrated.com. That's B-U-L-L-D-A-W-G, illustrated.com. Greg Poole, Vance Levy, they all do a great job of running things over at Bulldog Illustrated. You can catch, if you like what you hear on this podcast today, you can catch more of my writing there each and every day. I write a daily dog thread article that also has a community board attached underneath it where you can kind of catch all walks of different Georgia followers, fans, detractors, just people there for conversation. So you can catch that over on bulldogillustrated.com. But the news of the day is that I have a new co-host here on the RBU podcast. This co-host that if you follow Georgia recruiting, you're likely familiar with. We have Mr. Jeremy Johnson from, and Jeremy, if you can go ahead and unmute there, man, we're going to get going. Jeremy Johnson from the Athens Banner Herald. Jeremy, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Happy to be here. I appreciate you having me on. I think we're going to have some good times and some good shows, talking some Georgia recruiting.
Absolutely. Jeremy, much like myself, is very kind of in tune with what's going on in Georgia recruiting. Jeremy gets to do a little bit more traveling than I do. He makes the rounds, sees some of these kids up personal a little bit more. I get to do that in the season, but the off season, I'm not able to go out and about as much. So, Jeremy, before we get into the specifics and our main topic of today, what's it been like for you since you moved over to the Athens Banner Herald and then, of course, moving around and covering recruiting?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Just being able to get out, and like you said, I get out and almost every weekend since the season ended, I've been somewhere, seeing some good players and, getting to know some of these kids. I think that's the underrated part of this is, you see them on TV once they get to college, but, there's some really good young men that, are really talented athletes out there, especially in the state of Georgia. Hadn't been able to get down to Florida or over to Alabama yet, but I'm planning on making that, that a priority to get out and see some of those guys as well in the near future. But yeah, it's amazing to be able to get to know these guys and see them work hard and know what they do and even get to know their families a little bit. So yeah.
That's fantastic. Absolutely. One thing that I have gotten to do, I do a lot of Zooms and phone calls with recruits and things like that. And I know we're going to talk, by the way, everybody, our topic today, we're going to do our mock 1.0 here on the RBU podcast. There will probably be a couple more mocks to come afterwards, but this is our first attempt of predicting what this 2022 class will look like for Georgia. But kind of back to those conversations you were talking about with getting to know kids and stuff like that, a 2023 kid that I talked to recently is Tackett Curtis from Louisiana, who just got an offer from Georgia not too long ago. One of the best conversations I've ever had with a recruit. I mean, the guy's just a down-to-earth, humble Louisiana kid that loves to hit people. I mean, it was just a great conversation, but you're absolutely right. That's one of the joys of this, is being able to get to know everybody. But like I said, Jeremy and I are going to cover the mock 1.0 here on the RBU podcast. Jeremy, how confident do you feel that you are going to nail this 2022 class on the first try?
On a scale of 1 to 10, probably a 0.5. I mean, you just never know what's going to end up, what this class is going to end up looking like. You just never know what these kids are thinking in their heads. And, you know, I personally, I wouldn't want the pressure that they go through as far as trying to make a decision, especially during a pandemic when you haven't been able to get on campus for most of it. And I know guys will get on campus soon, but, you know, this summer you'll be focusing on a football season. So I just have no idea how this class is going to look. And whatever we say tonight, I'm sure it'll be wrong by next week.
Absolutely. So, guys, our best shot, though, and talk about it. You know, I think between the two of us, we have gotten to build a decent rapport with a lot of these kids. And I have a little bit of a feeling on you know, what's going to be transpiring here. So we're going to give it our shot here. And if you're following on the YouTube channel, this will be posted on Bulldog Illustrated YouTube channel. You'll see this is the big board here. We have all the players that have received offers from Georgia that we feel are legitimately in a position. There's mutual interest now, and I'm sure, Jeremy, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if I've got some guys I've overlooked that aren't on here, but going back through all my notes, all the articles I've written, people I've talked to, this is kind of the group that I've envisioned so far. So before we kind of break down each position and start picking out classes and stuff like that, what are you, just in general, what are your thoughts on this 2022 class so far for the University of Georgia?
It's shaping up to be one of the best they've had. Obviously, there isn't the guy that you point to, and this is no disrespect to any of these kids. These all kids are really good. They haven't had that guy that's the Justin Fields of the class that ranks in the top two or three as of now, nationwide. But I think that is coming with this class to punctuate what they've already done. They filled a lot of needs. And they've got some versatility with this group. That's the main thing I'm seeing with some of these defensive guys, is that they can do multiple things. So it's a strong class. And Georgia's always going to be in contention to be able to have that number one class and have a group of elite players joining them. This group has the potential to be really special.
Absolutely. When it comes to recruiting rankings on all the different industries and stuff like that, Georgia kind of aligning in that two spot right now behind Ohio State, and really has one less commitment than Ohio State, I believe. So Georgia is really positioning themselves well. Let me go ahead and make Brett Thorson red here, because all these guys that are marked in red are already commitments. So you can see here on the offensive side of the ball, the only two commitments in the 2020 class so far for Georgia: Gunnar Stockton, quarterback out of Tiger, Georgia, Rabun County High School, and Jordan James, running back, four-star running back out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Oakland High School up there in Tennessee. So only two guys out of the 11 commits right now for Georgia. What does that kind of tell you early on? Is it just a class where they felt like they had to maybe load up more on defense at the beginning, or just kind of how the chips fell, you think, to start off with?
Yeah, I think you're on to something when you say that, you know, it may just be kind of where the chips fell. I think they're obviously, Kirby Smart's a defensive minded coach, and, you know, just looking at their current roster, there'll be some guys that'll be coming out of that program this year and going into the NFL draft or just out of graduation, that they'll need to kind of restock some of these positions, particularly the defensive line area. You know, they lost Malik Herring this year. Jordan Davis, all those guys are NFL guys, so they'll need people that can come in and play right away next year.
Absolutely. You're talking about definitely next year losing Jordan Davis up front, losing Devontae Wyatt up front, losing Julian Rochester up front. Three guys who all came back and should provide great stability in this 2021 season for Georgia on the defensive line, especially on the interior. All those guys will be gone. Like you said, Trevon Walker, Jalen Carter, only around for one more year after this, so definitely need to be building for the future right there on that defensive line. But, you know, what we're going to do, guys, if you're following along, like I said, on the Bulldog Illustrated YouTube page, I'm going to, first of all, we're going to go position by position, just kind of highlight real quick. We don't want to turn this thing into an hour-long show out of our respect for our time and yours, but we do want to provide you with quality content here. And, of course, the first thing we can kind of check off the list, like we said, starting just in order from left to right here on our screen, is offense, Gunnar Stockton. Georgia will not bring in another quarterback in the class. That's a done deal with Gunnar having originally been committed to South Carolina. And, you know, once Will Muschamp leaves, that changed things for him. A lot of people, Jeremy, thought immediately that he, myself included, thought he would follow Mike Bobo to Auburn because the family ties between the Bobos and Stockton is so close. But maybe Will Muschamp coming to Athens influenced Stockton a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, that was my thinking as well. I was just sure he was going to end up in Auburn, especially with Bo Nix being gone after next year, and that job kind of being open after that, especially being open for competition. And it's a weird fit, you know, a little bit, because, you know, Gunner's coming in and you'll have competition. But I think that's a good thing for, you know, a program to have a quarterback that's willing to come in and compete. But I definitely assumed that he would end up at Auburn with all of the connections there with Mike Bobo.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that Brock Vandegrift actually grew up an Auburn fan, and Gunnar Stockton grows up a Georgia fan, and it kind of, you know, the what you would think happened kind of switched on those two. But Gunnar Stockton, obviously a tremendous high school player at Rabun County. There will be an adjustment. I don't care what anybody says, no matter how good you are, there will be an adjustment going from the shotgun exclusive offense run under J-Bo Shaw, former Georgia Tech quarterback, Georgia Southern quarterback. You never get under center, all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of different things. There will be some adjustments. And, you know, the hope for Georgia is that JT Daniels performs the way they think he's going to perform this year, stays injury free. Then, you know, it's either Carson Beck or Brock Vandegrift the next year, and Gunnar doesn't have to play right away, that kind of stuff. So we'll see what happens on that front. Now we're going to move over here to running back. Like I said, a lot more excitement here at the running back position, Jeremy. Of course, we talked about Jordan James earlier. Jordan James is a guy who I think is the type of player who is a multifaceted back. He can get it done in many different ways, runs outside a lot, also catches the ball. They don't throw the ball a ton. I think he only had 13 receptions his junior year before, but when he did, I think he was averaging, you know, 15, 16, 17 yards a reception. So an explosive player. Care to comment on Jordan James before we get on these other guys?
Yeah, everything you just said, you know, I agree with it, and I think that he's going to be a really good fit. And, you know, I think they're getting a good player that, you know, may not be a household name in the recruiting world right now, but he's going to be one of those guys that you're going to look up in a couple of years. He's making plays because he has some value in the passing game, and he can hit the home run on the edges. I think it's a good fit for him. Yeah.
And absolutely, you know, when you talk about running back, let's say what they're losing next year. James Cook, Zamir White, they're both going to be gone after this year. To me, Jordan James fits a lot more in that James Cook type role. He's a guy who can fly. I mean, he's a low 4.4 type guy. He can really run. He makes people look like they're, you know, standing still out there on defense a lot of times up there in Tennessee. So if you look at the history of it, it seems like every other year Georgia brings in kind of a thunder and lightning combo. Well, if that's the case, Jordan James is the lightning. Now the question is, who's going to be the thunder? Who's going to be the other guy that they pair with him? Number one up, I think who in my opinion, is number one on their board is Branson Robinson. I think Branson Robinson out of Mississippi, he reminds me so much of Nick Chubb. I can't even believe it when I watch him. Is that kind of the impression you get when you're watching?
That's my line of thinking. And I think like you said, that's got to be the number one guy on the board. And just because of what they already have in Jordan James in this class, having that thunder and lightning ability is a big something that they've focused on the last few years in recruiting, and Branson has a chance to be their thunder to Jordan James is lightning.
No doubt. I mean, he's just a guy. He deadlifts over 600 pounds. Is just when you see footage of him in the weight room, I think he was bench 415 the other day. The guy is unbelievable. He's pushing 230 pounds as before he even gets into his senior year of high school here. So a grown man back there at the running back position. You can see all the players indicated on the YouTube channel that have a star beside their name are people who have visits, official visits confirmed to Athens. So Branson Robinson is going to make his way to Athens. Catron Allen announced this weekend that he, running back out of IMG Academy, that he will be making a visit to IMG. Catron Allen, I think, very similar to Branson Robinson in that he's a downhill runner, gets it done in between the tackles. Jeremy, what do you think about Catron Allen there?
Yeah, I agree. It's, pretty similar between the two. Don't really see much. I think I don't think both will end up in Athens. I think it will be an either-or situation just because of what happened with Jordan James. And yeah, I mean, there's not much to add there. I think you're right on it. And coming from IMG Academy, he's a guy that could, he's going to be well-coached and he's going to be, well taken care of in the weight room. So yeah, that's a good comparison.
Absolutely. And then we'll kind of run through these two real quick, because like I said, we do want to kind of keep it expedient here for everybody's listening and viewing pleasure. But Tevin White and Trevante Citizen, Georgia's been on Georgia. Del McGee, they've been on Tevin White for a long time out of Stafford, Virginia. He's a guy who really is almost more of a wide receiver than a running back. I mean, they use him. They run, how all these – any Georgia fans listening, you're going to be getting nightmares or little shivers down your spine when I say wheel routes. They run a bunch of wheel routes like Florida ran against Georgia this year and burned them up there in Stafford, to use him on jet sweeps, a bunch of that kind of stuff. So Tevin White, really just an overall more kind of athlete that plays the running back position. And then Trevante Citizen, he just got an offer from Georgia. But at any time a four-star running back gets an offer this late in the cycle, just last week, that kind of perks your attention up, doesn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of that, it's kind of like they finally got his tape and watched him. Like, okay, wow, this guy is somebody we need to have in mind. It kind of reminds me of Dejon Edwards kind of being that late add to the class that, is going to have some impact. And I think, that's what we're seeing with Citizen.
Yeah, Citizen, guy out of Louisiana. A lot of people assumed, LSU is going to be the team for him. But Georgia and a few more big-time schools jumping in here late trying to get involved in this recruitment. Before we move off to running back position, one note, Branson Robinson, for a long time, I think people have thought Georgia is his favorite and vice versa. However, I do think that Clemson jumping in here in the last – month in his recruitment is a big factor. I think Clemson is a threat to Georgia in that recruitment, and it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens from that point forward. But we're going to finish out offense here in just a second. Do want to remind you, as always, this the RBU podcast presented by Bulldog Illustrated. That's BULLDAWG.com. Catch out every day stuff going on. Anything Georgia related, baseball, basketball, football, I don't care, tennis, water polo, golf, hockey, whatever, Bulldog Illustrated has you covered. Okay, so now let's get back to it here with wide receivers. Jeremy, this wide receiver position, you can see no commits so far, and it's someone that they're going to have to bring in three, at the least four, probably more likely four receivers. We don't have time to touch on each one of these guys. We will hit on a few of them here. What's your opinion overall of the wide receiver position in 2022 for the Georgia Bulldogs?
I think it's an underrated. I think it's going to be an underrated need for Georgia to try to hit a couple of these guys in this class, just because there's so much talent on the current roster that, you know, all these guys aren't going to be there. Either they're going to transfer, or, you know, you never know what early entry into the NFL draft. I mean, just with what you've seen in spring practice, you got to have depth. A lot of these guys can really play. Kojo Antwise, he's been one of the fastest risers for me this summer, or not this summer, but this offseason, just because I've, you know, just seeing him in person. He's really twitchy, really explosive once he gets the football in his hands. Denylon Morissette is another one. He and Kojo are both 7-on-7 teammates of Stockton, so I would watch both of those guys. And then you have Isaiah Bond from Buford. He's a burner. So Georgia's, they're sending a clear message to me that they want to be twitchy and they want to be explosive in their wide receiver corps.
Absolutely. And I think personally, I would group these guys. I would kind of say, okay, who are my guys that are my more Arian Smith types, going to take it over the top? Of course, I'm not comparing any of these guys speed-wise to Arian Smith. I don't think any of them could catch Arian Smith in a race, except maybe Isaiah Bond. Isaiah Bond can really, really run. But you know what I'm saying. These guys who are vertical threats that get it done down the field. I think that's Evan Stewart. I think that's Kojo Antwi. I think that's Isaiah Bond. Then I would categorize Denylon Morissette, Shalik Knotts, Andre Green as big, physical guys who they can still go deep and beat you, but they're going to be that guy that, you know, kind of in George Pickens fashion, where go back and go up and catch the ball 50-50, go get that back shoulder fade, all of those kind of things, physical over the middle type receivers. So I think you can see that Evan Stewart, Kojo Antwi, Denylon Morissette, all scheduled to visit in June at UGA. I know Georgia desperately was trying to get up to North Carolina to see Shalik Knotts before the pandemic hit. It didn't time up. They didn't get to go up there and do that visit. But I'm telling you, I think Shalik Knotts is an underrated want for the University of Georgia. I think there's a lot going on there. And then Andre Green, he's as impressive as any receiver you're going to see in the class. I think he's just got a overall very natural route runner, physical kid, has a good mindset. And then Shaz Preston, he is basically a carbon copy to me of Andre Green, just from Louisiana. So if you had to pick, and we're going to go ahead and start filling them out here, if you had to pick, who do you think, let's go back to, of course, let's go ahead and say right here that Gunner, of course, is going to be the quarterback. So we're going to highlight him yellow for everybody watching on YouTube. So we're going with our mock class here. We're going to say Gunner Stockton ends up there. Of course, Jordan James as well. And then if it was my vote, I'm going to say right here that Branson Robinson is the guy that ends up at Georgia at running back position. Jeremy, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to have to agree with you.
Okay, so we're going to mark Branson Robinson as number three. Now, we are going to preface this by saying that we think Georgia, we're just going to assume Kirby Smart, with the recruiting wizardry that he has, is going to find a way to fit 25 in this class. Jeremy, it seems like often that people anticipate Kirby's only going to get a few numbers here, or they're playing the game, you know, trying to figure out how to transfers account. But whether it's blue shirts, gray shirts, you know, different rules, getting guys to come as preferred walk-ons, all that kind of stuff, Kirby seems to find a way to fit 25 or close to it in the class, with the exception of this last one.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a wizard when it comes to roster management. I think that's an underrated skill as a head coach, having that ability to maneuver, you know, what you need and when you need it. And it's also about evaluating the guys you have. You know, you see a guy that, you know, he's going to play well and he's going to be an early entry into the NFL draft. You have to take that into an account that, you know, hey, this year we may have a little more wiggle room than you may have on a year where, you know, you have everybody come back. So I think he's done a good job with that, and I think he learned that from Nick Saban, because Nick Saban's also very well. He does that very well as also.
Absolutely. So, again, I'm talking here with Jeremy Johnson and Athens Banner Herald, my new co-host here on the RBU podcast. We're going through the mock class 1.0 here on the RBU podcast for the class of 2022. So far, we have that we think is going to end up that we've made our predictions. Of course, the 11 Georgia commits that include Gunnar Stotten and Jordan James, Tyree West, Bear Alexander, Darius Smith, C.J. Washington, Donovan Westmoreland, Jalen Walker, Malachi Starks, Marquise Groves, Killer Brew, Deion Bowie, Brett Thorson, and then Branson Robinson. That's Branson Robinson is the first one that we've predicted to kind of be extra, the next one to the class. Go ahead and let's hit wide receiver here. Of course, Georgia has no wide receivers committed at this point in time. Who do you think, who would you guess would be the guys that end up? We're going to say that Georgia takes four of them this class. If you had to pick your four, Jeremy, who are you saying is going to be in the four?
I'm going to say Kojo Antwi, Denylon Morissette, Isaiah Bond, and Shalik Knotts. Is that three or four?
That's four. You got four. So right there, those four of Kojo Antwi, Isaiah Bond, Denylon Morissette, and Shalik Knotts end up in red and black is what Jeremy Johnson is predicting there. I tend to feel the same way on Bond. I think Bond is a guy that I know Miami's showing him a lot of love right now, but I think Bond will end up getting to visit Georgia, see these new facilities, hear their history of guys who run track as well. Like Miko Hardman, what he did there. I think the Georgia track program will be something big, because I think he will want to run track at the next level too. So I agree with Isaiah Bond. I think Shalik Knotts is a great pick, because I know Georgia is extremely interested in him. Denylon Morissette, I know it's Georgia and Alabama right now. They're duking it out. The question is, can, you know, if you'd asked me 3 or 4 months ago, I would have said Alabama 100%. I think Georgia's gained a ton of ground for him and Kojo Antwi. These visits are going to be just absolute paramount. I mean, it's everything about this visit, this official visit weekend coming up in June is going to be huge with Morissette and Antwi. And you made a good point earlier. They're teammates of Gunnar Stockton at Hustle Inc. over there under Tony Ballard. So I think Gunnar's going to do a lot of work. My difference is I think Georgia does get Denylon Morissette. I don't think they get Kojo Antwi. I think he'll end up going to Texas A&M. I think he's got family ties down there in Texas that are going to kind of pull him over closer that way. I think that Georgia either goes with three, or they're able to pull Evan Stewart out of the mix, out of the heart of Texas. I think that's a big deal. Evan Stewart will be making a visit to Georgia. If he either Evan Stewart or Andre Green Jr., those two guys are the other two that I would look at here on the board. Now, our next one is pretty easy. I think tied in the only guy that I almost didn't even put another guy on the board to contend with, but because I think Todd Hartley is that focused on Oscar Delp. Is that kind of your thoughts at the tight end position?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Oscar Delp is their guy, and you know he's also a teammate of Gunners and Denylon and Kojo Antwi on Hustle Inc. And those guys have been lighting up so far in the offseason. And Oscar Delp and Kojo Antwi happen to be really close friends also, have been at rival high school. So, yeah, I could see that them wanting to, you know, team up there in Athens. And Gunner and Oscar have developed a bit of a connection throwing to each other this offseason. So that's the connection that will likely – or possibly, I have no idea, but land Georgia their tight end for the 2022 class.
Well, one thing to note is the last 2 years, if there are any evidence, Todd Hartley, I'm going to say Todd Hundley, the thing about a catcher from the major leagues every year, and Todd Hartley, when he has his mindset on getting a guy, Darnell Washington, really like the only tight end they recruited that year, they got him.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers, it became evident early on that Brock Bowers was the guy for Georgia. Got him. Feel pretty good about Todd Hartley's chances about bringing in an in-state guy in Oscar Delp after he was able to go out west and get two guys. So that brings us our number here. We had 11 originally, added Branson Robinson. That's 12. And we're going to go with your prediction of Antwi, Morissette, Bond, and Knotts. That brings us up 17. 17 commits. 8 more to go. Kurt, we know here it brings us to the offensive line position. Offensive line, Kirby Smart likes to bring 4 or 5 guys that are starter quality each year, year in and year out. It's just the depth of the O-line is something that he philosophically 100% believes in, that you have to have at the offensive line position. 1, transfers are a real thing. 2, guys are leaving early. 3, it's the offensive line. People are going to get hurt. So with that being said, what names jump out to you right there on our list? And I will run, before you do that, I will run down for the people listening via Apple, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. We have Tyler Booker out of IMG, Addison Nichols, Greater Atlanta Christian, Amarion Harris, Quayshon Sapp from South Georgia, Jacob Hood, who is 6'8", 330-something pounds. He's a mountain of a man. Elijah Pritchett, Julian Armella, who Georgia has made the top group for him, and then Zach Rice, who's a big, good-looking kid from up in Virginia. So out of that group that they've kind of established relationships with, who do you feel good about for Georgia with this offensive line class?
I'm going to go with – and I, you know, just kind of thinking about your analysis there with, you know, Kirby Smart and the staff taking 4 to 5 guys that – you know, they that are starter quality. That kind of throws me off a little bit because I was going to take 3 of these guys, but now that you mentioned that, I'll go with Tyler Booker.
Okay.
I'll go with Addison Nichols. I saw both of those guys at the Under Armour camp a few weeks ago, and they're both legitimate starter caliber offensive linemen. They're monsters. I'm going to go with Quayshon Sapp, guard/tackle out of Lee High
County,
School.
Lee County, you know.
And I'm going to say Jacob Hood out of Tennessee, 6'8". I saw him at a camp earlier this summer, and for a guy as big as he is, he moves really well. He's not just a guy that's stationary. I think that's going to be something that fits that Georgia offensive line room very well.
And you're to your point, they could very well go with just 3 players in this class, but I just know Kirby Smart is huge on bringing in that number of 4 or 5 guys every year in, year out, it seems, up front on the offensive front. So I agree 100% on Tyler Booker. I think he's their number one priority on this offensive line. I know that it started out actually Trey Scott recruiting him when he was a defensive tackle for IMG Academy. And since then, Matt Luke has kind of made his connection with Tyler Booker, and Georgia is very much so in the mix for him. I know he tweeted out the other day that he's made up his mind, actually. He's just waiting to see visits. So kind of a cryptic tweet. We'll see what it ends up happening. But if you had to ask me today, if I had to put something down on it that meant something to me, I'd say Tyler Booker does end up at Georgia. Addison Nichols, 100% agree there. Quayshon Sapp, I'm a little nervous there that I think he's going to end up at Florida State. I think he's a guy who, being down there from South Georgia, he's closer to Tallahassee than he is to Athens. So and oddly enough, even though Florida State has struggled immensely, I mean, it's just been a train wreck down there, they are putting together a really good recruit, especially with Travis Hunter, cornerback out of Collins Hill, when you're looking at the cornerback, you know, I didn't even put Travis Hunter on here. Of course, everybody knows Georgia wants him, but, you know, I just can't. Florida State has done an excellent job of recruiting that young man. So I say Jacob Hood as well. The other guy is, I think they may end up pulling out a Marion Harris. You know, I think that might be the other guy. But definitely Tyler Booker, Addison Nichols. But we're going to keep these right here. So that brings us up to 21 on the class. And now we've finished offense. Of course, punter Brett Thorson down there, who is from the Pro Kick Academy in Australia. You know, obviously a big leg, caught Kirby Smart's attention. So a lot of people were more fired up than usual about a punter commitment when they saw that. So I don't know if people were just real starving for getting some, that momentum was going there with how Georgia picked up some commits there back-to-back.
They had the hot hand.
Absolutely. So people were just excited and got real excited for the punter. No, I mean, that's a great opportunity to get, you know, kids from Australia to come over there and kick, obviously, with Australian rules football and all the different aspects. I mean, you got guys who can kick the ball, and Georgia themselves has known what a weapon it is to have a tremendous punter, especially, you know, in the past with what they've had and what they currently have there in Jake Camarda. So tremendous weapon. Now, before we get to defense, I do want to remind you again, Jeremy Johnson writes for the Athens Banner Herald. You can catch his stuff on Athens Online. I write every day for Bulldog Illustrated, bulldogillustrated.com. That's Bulldawg illustrated.com. Right up there in the middle, you can on the webpage every day, you can see the dog daily thread, and you'll see my writing on recruiting, stuff like that. So make sure to check both of our writings out. Our Twitter handles are over there on the screen under our, when you're looking at on the YouTube page, at BGilmer18 is mine. Jeremy O underscore Johnson is his. And now we'll get back to finishing out our mock 1.0. Jeremy, a lot of the work has been done over here on the defensive side already, as you kind of mentioned before.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's still some big guys out there that, you know, I think will help close out this class. And like we were talking about earlier on that defensive line, you know, I kind of look at that little group, and that's where I think most of the work will be done as far as the defensive side. You know, maybe another safety, maybe another corner, but I think most of the headlines will go to that defensive line group in the coming months.
Absolutely. You want to mention that neither one of us are at liberty or will discuss anything in terms of the cornerback situation with Deion Bowie. As of now, we're going to assume that he's still going to be part of the Georgia commitment class for this, but we're going to leave it right there at that. Who knows what could happen and change in that situation. But that's all we're really going to touch on right there. Now, in terms of – we'll start out with the interior defensive front. Like we said before, Jordan Davis gone after this year. Devontae Wyatt, who came back for that – extra senior year, the super senior year, so did Julian Rochester. Both of those are going to be gone. That's three guys leaving your program. And then, of course, like you mentioned, Trayvon Walker and Jalen Carter, they're going to be on the precipice of going to the NFL. They'll have one more year. So it's a lot of turnovers going to be coming up around here. They've remedied that kind of right off the bat, getting Tyree West from Tift County, Bear Alexander from out in Texas. That's two huge, huge guys. Tyree West, to me, is built. He's built like an Aaron Donald. You know what I'm saying? He's not. I'm not comparing him to Aaron Donald. So don't everybody blow their mind. You know, at me on Twitter and stuff like that. But Tyree West reminds me of that. He's a quick twitch guy. He's played since his freshman year down there in Tift County in the hardest region in the state of Georgia to play in, and you play there as a freshman. That's quite impressive, is it not, Jeremy?
Absolutely. That's like the SEC of Georgia football, is in that little area where he plays. So yeah, I mean, I'm with you 100%. He's a real football player, and I think he's definitely got and he's also been doing a little recruiting apparently. So, you know, I think that's a big get for the Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Tyree West, and we'll talk about Bear Alexander in just a minute, but Tyree West, Michael Williams, and Kristen Miller all train with Dr. Rush over there. What names escaped me now. Chuck Smith, former defensive end for the Atlanta Falcons. Dr. Rush is what he's goes by now. So he's training up DNs and defensive linemen over there. They all three train together. I interviewed Kristen Miller not long ago before he went on his visit out to USC. And, you know, he was talking about how Tyree West every day is texting some go dogs, all that kind of stuff. So, like you said, definitely doing some recruiting. Of course, Big Bear Alexander, he's really that one that kind of replaces that Jordan Davis type role. You know, he's 6'3", 325 already, just a very strong run stopper, can take on double teams. That's a big get out of the heart of Texas for the Dogs.
Absolutely. I think you hit it right on the head when you said, when you just try to picture these guys and where they fit, Bear Alexander is your prototypical nose, zero technique, one technique over the center and over the guard, that what Jordan Davis does. So I think that's a humongous get out of Texas, because he feels a specific need, and you know exactly where he's going to be. Just thinking about it, though, what do you see, you know, how do you feel about these guys, how they translate, especially Tyree? Just with him being his size that he is, how do you think they use him?
Tyree West is Malik Herring all over again. I mean, he, you know, that 280, 285 can bump out and be a big defensive lineman when it comes to short yardage situations, can play inside and use his speed to beat guards and pass rush situations. I think Tyree West is going to be a nightmare matchup for, you know, kind of that tweener between defensive end and defensive tackle. He's never going to be a true nose. You know, he's not going to be a guy who's eating up double teams and stuff like that, but he's going to use his hands really well. He's going to be able to use different pass rush moves and things like that, that he's learning over there from Chuck Smith and guys like that. And then of course, once he gets under the tutelage of Trey Scott, and those people, I think those two, like we said, are really going to replace those roles. Tyree West plays a lot like a Devontae Wyatt, honestly, you know, kind of in that similar role. So when you watch Georgia football this fall, be looking at Jordan Davis, be looking at Devontae Wyatt, and then think, okay, where would these kids fit in? I think Tyree West fits more in that Devontae Wyatt type role. I think Bear Alexander is more of the Jordan Davis type role. Mykael Williams, Kristen Miller, two guys who are in-state guys for the University of Georgia. What do you think, Jeremy, when it comes to Kristen Miller and Mykael Williams?
Yeah, both of these guys. I've seen Mykael in person at the Under Armour camp, and he deserved his fifth star that he got. He checks every box, and you know, if Georgia was able to land him, that's one of the diamond pieces on top of this class, is landing a guy like him. And I know him and Christian are really close, and they're really close friends. I don't know that they'll end up here together. Who knows? But both of those guys are really talented. Christian's also is very talented. So, you know, having those guys along with Bear, along with Tyree, you know, that's a pretty impressive group starting to shape up if you're able to land those two guys from in-state.
Absolutely. And then, of course, there's Walter Nolan, KJ Miles, and Felix Hinton kind of rounding out the group here on what we're calling the big board here for Georgia on the defensive tackles. Let's go ahead and make our predictions here for the defensive line group. I think they get one more of these guys. If you had to pick one, who do you think is the guy that lands at Georgia at the defensive tackle position?
I'm going to say Mykael Williams.
I'm of that opinion too. I think Kristen Miller really liked his visit out to LA. He's a guy who wants to do some acting, wants to do his own. He already does some of his own filmmaking, stuff like that. Yeah. I think that LA atmosphere really impressed him. I would not be surprised if he ends up with the USC Trojans, but I think Mykael Williams is much more of a Georgia type guy. I really think he ends up with the Dogs as well.
Yeah, and there's no argument with me from there. Christian's a talented football player, but he's also a very interesting personality. He's, like you said, he wants to do some acting. I've had a chance to talk to him twice now, and it's one of the best interviews I've had is talking to that guy. So
he brings the noise every time you talk to him. That's for sure. He's exciting. So that puts you. I'm going to go ahead and go with your logic back on the offensive line here. I'm going to take it down to three commitments, and okay. on the offensive line. So that puts us at 20 right there. And then Micah Williams, 21. So let's say you got four more to play with. Over here at defensive end, Darius Smith, a kid 6'6", 225 pounds, just length for days. committed very early to the University of Georgia out of Appling County at defensive end. He's the only defensive end for the moment, but you have seen Anai White out of Florida, who has announced that he will be making an official visit to Georgia. And then, of course, you have Shamar Stewart, who's also from the Miami area, the number one overall player in the class, who's being recruited by Georgia and LSU very hard. I think those are the two that are leading for Shamar at this point in time. Of course, Miami's thrown in there as well. And then Jeremiah Alexander out of Alabama, the Thompson program over there that's just a national powerhouse. They win state championships, seems like, every year. So I think they add one more of these guys. Jeremy, who would you think maybe ends up being the other defensive end out of that group?
You know, this one, this is a tough one because, you know, Alabama and LSU are involved with a lot of these, with the two you just mentioned above. So I'm going to go with Anai White.
Yeah, I think he's from Philadelphia. Georgia seems to have a lot of success with kids out of Philadelphia. I think Anai White, the fact that he's coming down for an official, and Georgia does very, very well with officials. I mean, there's been several cases over the last couple of years that Georgia was not the favorite for a prospect. And then they come to Athens, they come to the University of Georgia, and they see what it's all about, and they change their mind and commit. And Kirby Smart and his staff and the recruiting staff there really thrive on that. So I think Anai White's visit to Georgia will be big there. Moving along now, we're going to go to inside linebacker C.J. Washington out of Cedartown, Nick Chubb's alma mater. He wears 27, looks very similar to Chubb in that uniform over there. Just crazy stuff when it comes to C.J. Washington and his strength and just, like I said, grown man football over there with the way they play at Cedartown. He's a talented running back as well as an inside linebacker, but he will play on the defensive side for Georgia at the next level. I don't know that they have to add another inside linebacker, but there's one name on there that catches my eye. Does anybody jump out to you on that list of C.J. Washington? Of course, C.J. Washington committed, and then you got Sean Murphy and E.J. Lightsey.
Yeah, I think Lightsey is probably the guy I would go with. I'm not certain of that, but yeah, I don't know that. Like, I'm of the opinion that I don't know that they'll need another inside backer, just because I think Jalen Walker could play inside as well. So
be a kind of tweener type guy. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, maybe one of those outside linebacker guys, because of how they use that position ends up inside.
100%. I think the only thing that made it a little interesting today is Sean Murphy, like an hour before we started recording the show, he posted a picture of him working out in Georgia gear and all that kind of stuff. Man. Who knows? He could be trolling people. That's how that goes all the time with those kids on social media. But something to pay attention to. He did make the top eight for Georgia. Did make the top eight for Sean Murphy back in January. A very highly coveted inside linebacker there. So, but let's just leave it as is for right now. And let's say Georgia's still at our 2022 commitment. So we're going to give them two or three more. I don't know necessarily that they take another outside linebacker. If they do, I'm of the opinion that who they would add to Donovan Westmoreland and Jalen Walker would be Daniel Martin out of Marietta. Is that kind of the feeling that you're getting?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's where I would go with it. So
let's say Daniel Martin ends up with Georgia. So that puts at 23 commitments. I do think Georgia takes one more safety and one more corner. I think building depth in that secondary is something that they want to do. Obviously, Kamari Wilson and Keon Saab, both safeties out of IMG Academy. I think Georgia's in the top two for Kamari Wilson. I think at one point it was actually Georgia and Alabama. Then once he released his top 12 and Alabama didn't even make the top 12, it showed, I think there was a divergence in that recruiting right there. Georgia and Miami now, I think, are the top two to kind of look out for. What are you thinking on this safety position? Any names? We've also got Jake Pope, Emory Floyd, Xavier Nwankpa, Jordan Allen, and Darko Perkins McAllister. Any of those names kind of jump out to you as the guy who you think ends up joining Malachi Starks?
That's a very deep group. And, you know, I'm almost kind of thinking that you have to take an extra one of these guys just because of the star position. Obviously, that's a linebacker also, but, you know, who knows?
Which Malachi Starks, I think, will end up at that star role.
Yeah, and that's why I'm kind of thinking which one of these guys can play that deep safety and roam the middle of the field, and which one can come down in the box and be the thumper. If I'm going to say right now, Jake Pope, I really like Jake Pope out of Buford, and I think Emory Floyd, his speed has the potential to be really good. Jordan Allen's really good, too. All these guys are really good, but, you know, I would hate to be the guy trying to trim down my list to decide who I'm taking.
Park that one out. I do think I agree with you. I think Emory Floyd's going to end up at Auburn. I think Georgia was really hot and heavy on him to start off with. I think things have cooled there a little bit, and I think since Brian Harsin has came on at Auburn, I think he's really tried to make a push over here for Emory Floyd. I think he ends up at Auburn. Xavier Nwankpa is the number one safety in the state of Iowa, and then of course in all those Midwestern states. I don't know that he necessarily fits. I think he'll end up more at a Big Ten type school. I think the focus is going to be there on Kamari Wilson and Jake Pope, like you said. I think those are the two guys that I think Georgia's really honing in on. Jake Pope, Ohio State, a lot going on there. Jake Pope's dad played at Clemson. If Clemson jumps in the mix, which they haven't yet, I think they could immediately be a contender. I don't know. I feel that the fact that Alabama did not get put in the top 12 for Kamari Wilson gives Georgia a huge boost in his recruitment. And I think Kamari Wilson joins Malachi Starks to make the most talented safety tandem by far in the country. I think that's what ends up happening there.
IMG Academy to Athens seems to be the route nowadays. Just, you know, how many guys have they signed from IMG over the last 5 or 6 years? So, you know, it's definitely becoming a bit of a pipeline.
Oh, it's a pipeline for sure. IMG, Bradenton to Athens seems to be a one-way ticket these days. So we'll see how that goes down the stretch here. And then finally, our last position is the cornerback position. Like I said, they already have Marquise Groves-Killebrew, Deion Bowie, at least for the time being. And then let's see, you know, Traquan Fagans out of Oxford High School in Alabama, Toriano Pride from the St. Louis area, and then JQ Hardaway, who is teammates with Mikel Williams. I personally, and JQ, he's committing sometime in June, I believe. June 20th is when he's committed. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia can get him on campus for an official before that. That'll kind of tell us a lot there. What's your take on what's left here in the cornerback position?
Yeah, this is another tough one. There's a lot of – Georgia's after all the talented defensive backs you can find, because you have to have depth in that position. But, you know, I really like Traquan Fagans. I saw him at a camp earlier this summer, or his offseason, and he's a good-looking player. And I think that's what would be the guy for me.
I think Traquan Fagans, I think the – mutual interest there between him and Georgia is almost palpable. I really think it is. And then I wouldn't put it past him, especially if things end up going well with Mikel Williams, for JQ Hardaway to end up at Georgia as well. Just an explosive playmaker. And very versatile, plays receiver, does kick return and all that kind of stuff down at Hardaway High School, his namesake there. So, you know, And that's our class, guys. That's the mock 1.0 here on the RBU podcast. Jeremy, we went kind of long form with this one on the first one, but you know, trying to give people a snapshot of this recruitment, really covering it in about 50 minutes is unbelievable with the amount of stuff that goes on, and we barely scratched the surface on a lot of these things and the inner workings of it. So, man, I had fun. I think that's a good deal, and you know, hopefully we'll get to see sooner rather than later how right or wrong we are in a lot of this stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun summer and fall, just to kind of see where some of these guys end up and how they develop. You know, that's the thing about all this, they're still developing as players. And you know, you think they're one thing and they have been for 3 years, and then they go into this summer and they blow up even more. So yeah, I think that's going to be exciting. I think we're not going to know exactly what's going to be what until that pen hits the dotted line in what is it, December now?
Oh yeah, December's the signing day now. So, well, this has been another episode of the RBU podcast. Thank you for joining us. You can, if you liked it, please like, subscribe to the YouTube page over there at Bulldog Illustrated. Also, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. All you have to search is RBU or RBU Podcast, and it'll be there available. For my co-host, Jeremy Johnson, I'm Blaine Gilmer, and we'll see you next Monday.